Welcome to First Baptist on Palm Sunday. What a great day of worship it's already been with our 8:30 service and then life groups, and now we've gathered together to worship the Lord. If we are going to be taking the Lord's Supper this morning, so if you did not receive these elements and you are a follower of Jesus, if you would lift up your hand, I think we've got some people we've got a couple down here that need it. Great. Some down here. It'll be just a minute. There you go. If some of the men, great, John, if y'all can go get those and just keep your hand up and they'll get that to you. Two of the most significant days on the Christian calendar are Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, what many of us call Easter. This week is known as Holy Week. Some call it Passion Week. We have put together a guide to help you walk with Jesus through the week. You'll find hard copies as you exit the worship center today, also on the website under our resources tab. And throughout the week, if you'll check our social media, we will have day-by-day guides for you of exactly what happened. Remember, on Sunday, this day, Jesus entered Jerusalem. And then on Friday, what we know as Good Friday, Jesus died. And then on Sunday, his glorious resurrection. Take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 15. Now, if you're new to the Bible has an Old Testament and a New Testament. Mark is the second book in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible app on your phone, or if you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the seat racks there for you. Mark chapter 15. The sermon today will be unlike any sermon I have preached as your pastor over the last 8 months, and maybe for the rest of my time here. This sermon is a narrative sermon, and I want you to come with me to Good Friday. Through the eyes of the Roman centurion, I want us to see the crucifixion of Jesus. Normally, I encourage you to take notes. Today, I encourage you not to take notes. I want you to listen with your head, and I want you to listen with your heart. We're going to read Mark chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 16. Read some verses and then skip over to verse 33. I'll ask if you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Thank you. And I'll begin in verse 16. Mark chapter 15. This is the word of the Lord. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak and twisted together a crown of thorns. They put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him, they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. Now skip down to verse 33. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders heard it, hearing it, said, behold, he is calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Pray with me. Father, we are undone by your powerful and great love for very willful sinners like us. Stir the affections of our hearts that we might see the beauty and the glory and the supremacy of Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is Eyewitness of Calvary through the eyes of the Roman centurion. I was there when Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. I've never forgotten that Black Friday. My men and I had been up most of the night. About dawn, a mean mob approached the justice hall and they demanded to see Pilate. They had a prisoner they wanted to be judged. Pilate came out and he said, what charge is to be brought against this man? They said, he's been spreading strife and sedition all over Galilee. Pilate said, he's out of my jurisdiction. Take him to Herod. The crowd went away, dragging their prisoner, but it wasn't long before they came back. This time, Pilate came out in his official judicial robes. He took his place there on the judgment seat on the pavement. He asked to speak to this Galilean preacher. He spent some time with him. Then he came out to the crowd, standing by this man called Jesus, and he said to the crowd, I find no fault in this man. And the crowd cried out, crucify him. Pilate remembered a Jewish custom whereby on this particular Jewish festival, they would release a prisoner. So Pilate then called up a man by the name of Barabbas, a murderer, and Jesus. And the crowd cried out, give us Barabbas. Pilate said, what shall I do with this man called Jesus? And they cried out, crucify him. Pilate looked at me, said, take him away and scourge him. I told two of my men to take him down to the courtyard. They took his coat off of him. They tied his hands. They strung him up on the rack. A big, burly Roman soldier prepared to administer the scourging with a Roman whip. Now, if you don't know what a Roman whip is, let me tell you. It's one long piece of leather with 9 shorter pieces of leather connected to it. And sewn into these shorter pieces of leather are jagged pieces of bone and glass and stone. My Roman soldier reached back and leaned forward, and with all his might, he let that whip fly again and again and again until the mutilated, lacerated flesh of the Galilean hung down like ribbons of red. My men weren't finished with him yet. They untied him. Then they stood him up. They placed a robe on him, gave him a scepter or a reed. They twisted together a crown of thorns, pressed it down on his brow until blood streaked down his face and matted in his beard. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck him. They hit him with the reed. Some of my men spit on him. I said, "That's enough. Let's take him back to Pilate." We walked back upstairs. Pilate stood there beside this Galilean and said to the crowd, "Behold your king." And I realized what he was doing. He was saying to them, "Haven't you done enough? Haven't I satisfied your bloodthirsty lust enough?" And the crowd cried out, "Crucify him." Pilate called for a basin of water. He dipped his hands down in the water. And as he held his hands up, water cascaded down back into the bowl. And Pilate washed his hands and said this, "I am innocent of the blood of this man." He looked at me. Pilate said, "Take him away and crucify him." I told my soldiers to take him back down to the courtyard. There were two men already down there to be crucified. So I said, "Let's get it over all at one time." As part of their humiliation, we make the prisoner carry their own cross. I was worried about this Galilean. He was weak from the whipping, but he was young, he was strong. He got underneath the cross, stumbled and staggered, but then he stood upright. We made our way out the gate unto the narrow cobblestone Jerusalem streets. There was a festival, a Jewish festival going on, so the city was crowded. We had to press and push our way through the crowd. They didn't like that. They yelled at us, some threw rocks at us. And then I looked over and the Galilean collapsed. I figured that might happen. I looked in the crowd and I saw in the back a large man. I said, "You, what's your name?" He said, "Simon." And when he said that, the Galilean looked up with a glimmer of hope. But then when he saw his face, his head fell down and his chin rested on his chest. I said, "Simon, come and carry his cross." We went through the city streets, out past the city gates, out past the city wall, to a place called Golgotha. Some know it as Calvary. I don't know, well, Golgotha means a place of the skull. And I don't know why they call it that. Either it looks like that, or maybe because we've killed so many men there. In crucifixion, some were to be tied, some were to be nailed. The Galilean, he was to be nailed. We led the cross on the brow of the hill. My men tied his wrist tightly to the cross. They took out a large, long spike. They pointed it at his hand. My soldier lifted his heavy hammer and he let it fall. And again. And again. They went to the other hand, pointed the spike at his hand, lifted up the hammer. Until the quivering flesh of this preacher was fastened tightly to the cross. They went to his feet. They put one foot on top of the other. They say the insole is one of the most tender spots on the body. Didn't bother my soldier. He lifted the hammer, let it fall, and again. We lifted up the cross arm and came down with a thud in the hole in the earth. There they were, three men suspended between heaven and earth. They say that pain shoots through your body like shock waves of fire. In my experience, at this point, the prisoner was doing one of two things, crying or cursing. Not this Galilean. He didn't say anything for the longest time, and then I'll never forget what he said. It's been burned into my heart with a hot iron. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I've crucified a lot of men, but never has someone prayed for me. And I wondered, what sort of man is this? What manner of man is this Galilean? After they had been on the cross for a while, one of the criminals shouted out to Jesus, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." The other criminal then rebuked him. He said, "Do you not fear God? We are receiving our just reward, but this man has done nothing wrong." And then he looked at Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And then the Galilean looked at him and he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What manner of man hanging on a cross dying speaks of paradise? Then he looked down right in front of the cross. There was a lady. She had been there the whole time. She was weeping. And he said, "Mother, behold your son." Then he looked at a young man and said, "Behold your mother." I realized what he was doing. This preacher was making provision for his mother. And I thought, who is this man? About noon, something eerie happened. The whole sky went black as night. The Galilean became agitated. He began to thrash around on the cross. And then he said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." And when he said that, one of the bystanders said, "He's calling for Elijah." One of my men lifted up a sponge on a pole, but the other one said, "Wait, let's see if Elijah comes and takes him down." I talked to an old Jew later, and he said he wasn't calling for Elijah. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Then, after a short while, he said three words, in an unusually strong voice. He said, "It is finished." It was like he was the victor, not the victim. It was like he had won and someone else had lost. It was as if he stepped back, looked at something he had done, and he said, "It's perfect. It's complete. Nothing could be added." And then, in an unusually strong voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then he died. He died. And when he died, a slow rumble began, and then the earth began to shake. They said that the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. They said that graves were open and dead men walked in the street. I was so scared, I cried out, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The Jewish religious leaders came to me and they said, "Listen, tomorrow's a holy day. We need to get these bodies down." I said, "Fine with me." One of my soldiers took an iron bar and we will go and we will break the legs of the prisoner. And when he came to the preacher, I said, there's no need. He's already dead. One of my soldiers took a sword and pierced his side. And when he did, blood mixed with water flowed out, streamed down that cross, splattered on the dust, trampled underfoot of men. He died. He died of a broken heart. Normally, with the prisoners, we take them to a place right outside Jerusalem called Gehenna, and we burn their bodies. But some of the followers of this Galilean had asked for his body to give him a decent burial. They took his body, they put it in a rock-hewn tomb, they rolled a large stone in front of it, and I sent a squad of soldiers to guard this tomb, and then I went home. I was exhausted. Yeah, you're not going to believe what happens next. Sunday morning, I'm in my home, and my soldiers come running to me. I have to tell them, slow down so I can understand you. And they said the stone had been rolled away. The body was gone. And listen, the grave clothes were neatly folded in the tomb. Two men in shiny apparel appeared to them and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen just as he said. I had a mind to believe at this point. I decided to find someone. I'd heard of a man by the name of Simon Peter. He was one of the followers of this Galilean. And I went to Simon Peter, and I asked him, tell me about Jesus. And when I said that, Simon got this big grin on his face. And this is what he told me. He said that I was made in the image of God. But that image was marred and disfigured because of sin. Because of that, my fellowship with God was broken, and I had no hope. So God sent His only Son to die on the cross in the place of sinners and to live the righteous life that I could not live, so that if I would repent of my sins and place my faith in the finished work of Jesus, I could be saved. And it all made sense. When Jesus died on the cross and His blood streamed down the cross, atonement, payment was made for my sin, that God took all of His righteous anger against my sin and against me, and He poured it on His own Son. I had never known love like that. So I became a follower of Jesus. My soldiers didn't understand, but I figured if Jesus died for me in front of my enemies, the least I could do was to live for Him in front of my friends. You might say, how can you follow someone that you killed? I've been reading this book, and your sins put him there also. So I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I did, to come and follow Jesus. I'm going to see him soon. And when I do, I'm going to fall down, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I didn't understand what I was doing. But until then, by His grace, I will live for Jesus. And Roman soldiers make really good Christians.